you know, everybody uses Nisargadatta, and points to him as an exemplar of whatever approach that they have. From the Neo-Advaitins, quote him as one of their gurus, to the classical Advaitins. He's a monster amongst traditional Advaita gurus. And people who think I've gone astray need to read him in my light. Because he says the same things that I'm saying now. Listen to this. This is from Prior to Consciousness, page 25. Will there be no continuation of memories after death? Only if there's sugar cane or sugar will there be sweetness. If the body is not there, how can there be memories? The being itself is gone. How does one know what remains? There are now 20 people in this room. All 20 leave. And what remains is there. But someone who is left cannot understand what it is. So in that Parabrahman, which is without attributes, without identity, unconditioned, who is there to ask? This is to be understood, but not by someone. The experience and the experiencer must be one. You must become the experience. And this is really important too, just this point. There's not a watching of experience and distancing from experience. You become the experience. Merge into the experience. Surrender to the experience, whatever it is. What is this Parabrahman like? The answer is, what is Bombay? Don't give me the geography or the atmosphere of Bombay. Give me a handful of Bombay. Give me a handful of the Parabrahman. What is Bombay? It is impossible to say. Same with Parabrahman. There is no giving or taking of Parabrahman. You can only be that. In other words, you can't have knowledge of the Absolute. You can't have a knowing of the Absolute. You can only be the Absolute. You are the Absolute at all times. But it's your conditioning, your beliefs, your thought structures, society, your names, your upbringing, all of these have created an illusion of your existence. And this illusion and this concepts have to fall away before you see yourself as what you truly are, which is the Absolute, the inner void, which you can't see, but can only be. We want the state which Maharaj enjoys. The eternal truth is there, but for witnessing it is of no use. You give up the study in the name of religion or spirituality or whatever you are trying to study. Do only one thing. That I amness or consciousness is the godliest principle. It is there only so long as the vital breath is there. It is presently your nature. The I amness, the vital breath, is presently your nature. You worship that only. That I amness is something like the sweetness of the sugar cane. And that's how it feels. The sweetness, so light, like the wind, a puff of air blowing against your heart. The I amness is something like the sweetness of sugar cane. Abide in that sweetness of your beingness. Then only you will reach and abide in eternal peace. Question. I feel the life force energy polarized and intensified in my body in the presence of Maharaj. In the practicing of meditation, the life force gets purified. And when it is purified, the light of the self shines forth. But the working principle is in the life force. When this purified life force and the light of Atman, of the self, merge, then the concept, the mind, the imagination, everything is taken away. The life force is the acting principle, and that which gives sentience to the person is the consciousness. So he's saying there's two things. Life force, which is activity driving the body, the energy that keeps us alive, and consciousness, which gives us sentience, awareness of what is. This is what the tradition of Shiva and Shakti signifies, the questioner asks. This is what the tradition of Shiva and Shakti signifies, he is asked. Shiva means the consciousness, and Shakti is the life force. People go by varying names, which have been given, and forget this basic principle. In other words, you have a name, Joanne, Alan, Edgy, Shane, Joan, but you forget your basic principle, the life force and consciousness. You're not a body or consciousness. Merely sit in contemplation and let the consciousness unfold itself. What have you understood? Maharaj asks. The questioner says, the consciousness starts to get a greater sense of itself, and the prana and the body's energy become intensified and polarized. It seems to be part of the purification. Maharaj, when this consciousness and prana, the Shakti, the life force merge, they tend to go and become steady in the Brahma Rudra. I think that's above the forehead one, or no, it's above the thousand petaled one, chakra above the head. It becomes steady in the Brahma Rudra, and then all thoughts cease. And a lot of people experience this as the head gets heavy, the brain gets heavy like a rock, and all thoughts cease, and the brain and the whole head feels so heavy, so dense, stupid like a rock. Sansanim used to say, dumb as a rock. Your head seizes, your brain seizes. And that's when Shakti combines, the life force and consciousness merge in the brain. And he says, this is the start of samadhi. Then one comes back again, and the life force starts its normal activities. In other words, the brain becomes like a rock. You go into samadhi, and it has many different forms, either where you become thoughtless and nothing happens, and even consciousness is lost, or else it drops away, and you see the world, and it's so bright and beautiful and close, and the distance between you and the objects has disappeared totally. And you're in awe of how splendid the world is that you've created. And then the samadhi goes away, and the Shakti begins to do its normal activities of day-to-day life. Maharaj, understand that it's not the individual which has consciousness. It is the consciousness which has assumed innumerable forms. That something which is born or which will die is purely imaginary. It is the child of a barren woman. In the absence of the basic concept, I am, there is no thought, there is no consciousness. This is very, very important. He's saying, the I itself, the core of the I am, is not real. It's a figment created by the word I, and by a repetitive use of I do this, I do that, I feel this, I should do this, I am that. We use the I 1,000 times a day, or at least 100 times a day. And we assume that there's something in us that this I word points to, the core of the I am concept. Everything gets wrapped around this word I. Our sense of presence gets wrapped around it. But when we see the I is only a thought and it doesn't refer to anything, the boundaries between inner and outer disappear and we become one with consciousness. There's no inner outer. There's no I thou. And even then, once the I disappears, the sense of presence can disappear too, because it's no longer limited to I. The sense of presence is throughout the entire universe. What is the self? If you want to expand the entire world, is the manifestation. At the same time, it is very tiny. The seed of beingness, like an atom, a pinprick of I amness. That is the very source of love. Such a potential is there, having provided that love. I'm getting so distracted. There's dogs barking outside and cats screwing around in the garage outside. It's very distracting. That is the very source of love. Such a potential is there. Having provided that love to the entire world, it remains in the seed I am. The leftover is that I am. That pinprick or touch of I amness is the quintessence of all essence. One must have firm abidance or faith in the words of the Guru. Here I do not repeat or imitate what people or other sages do. I'm not championing any religion. I have no pose or stance for anything. Not even that I am a man or a woman. The moment you accept any pose or stance, you have to take care of that by following certain disciplines and boundaries related to that pose. I abide in the self only. That self is entirely beyond the world. I do not believe that anybody did exist prior to me. When my beingness appeared, everything appeared. Prior to my beingness, nothing was. Originally, I am without any stigma, uncovered by anything. The para-atman, that core self, the highest self, its identity is without any stigma. It is subtler than space. Why are you dying? Understand the first moment when you understand what you are. Once you understand this, you are in the highest of the gods. You are the highest of the gods, the point at which everything arises. The source and the end is the same point. Once you understand that point, you are released from that point. Once you understand consciousness, once you understand I, once you understand I ams, once you understand your own personality, and this is a growing understanding that comes naturally, maturing by being yourself, by witnessing yourself, by acting yourself out. It's a natural process. Once you understand that point, the point of beingness, the basic consciousness, the seed of consciousness, once you understand that point, you are released from that point. We're no longer bound by consciousness or the I am. You're free. Nobody tries to understand this happening of the I amness. I, the absolute, am not this I am-ness. He identifies with the mystery inside, the inner void of which we can know nothing, and we can only be it. I, the Absolute, am not this I am-ness. In meditation, your beingness should merge in itself, a non-dual state. Remain still. Do not struggle to come out of the mud of your concepts. You will only go deeper. Remain still. So I tried in this reading to show that what I'm teaching now is really not Robert anymore, but it's Advaita seen through the eyes of Nisargadatta and Ed Musica. It's not that I took it from him, but we think alike. Our experiences apparently are alike. If you read Self-Knowledge and Self-Realization by Nisargadatta, you can see that love in him every minute. He talks about the various stages he went through of seeing the Guru and loving the Guru and becoming one with beingness and then spotting his beloved, his absolute state. First, the I am-ness. The I am-ness itself, which some of you still have a hard time feeling. And then when you fully understand the point of the I am-ness, it drops away. Melts, disappears, all the concepts disappear, and you're left with that, the ultimate no concepts, just pure pureness, pure beingness, without any sense of I am-ness even, completely resting in yourself, nowhere to go, nothing to do. This is where I want you to go. This is where I'm trying to take you, through this new way. The old Ed Musica way was pretty boring. 27 years of meditation on the self. This way is so fertile, so loving, so much energy is here. It almost forces you to progress. And there does seem to be a progression here, while there isn't so much of a progression in the boring way, or else it's so slow. But this is so palpable and rich. So fertile. Do you feel it?